Please take your Bibles, open to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 25 through 34. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You have little faith. So don't worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, or seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You may be seated. As we're going in our study through the Gospel of Matthew, we were looking previously at verses 22 through 24, and we looked at the eye is the lamp of the body. And we talked about this is, can you see the truth? Now, some of us who wear glasses and get our greasy fingers and thumbs on it, it makes it a little hard to see. But if we don't have our glasses on, it's hard to see too. I don't have a problem with my vision, it's just my arms are too short. I can't hold things far enough away to read it. It's just short arm disease. Well, what it's talking about here, the eye is the lamp of the body. Can you see the truth? And the truth is in God's Word. He, Jesus, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if we're looking for the answers in a world that is presenting all kind of lies as the truth, we need to have eyes that see the truth. And if we're examining everything through the spiritual eyes that God has given us, we can understand what's right and what's wrong. Because it is God that determines what is right and what is wrong. It is God that is the one that we're going to stand before on judgment day and have to give an account. When he says, what did you do with what I told you? Do you think he's going to let us into heaven and say, I ignored everything you said? I want to get into heaven because I deserve it. That's why when somebody asks me, how are you doing? I stole Dave Ramsey's saying, better than I deserve. Because God has given us forgiveness. God has given us access to heaven because of what he has done. And if your eye is healthy, then everything else in your life is going to make sense. If you understand that the truth needs to be seen through what God said, then everything will be fine. But if your eye is bad, that means if you're looking at things through a worldly perspective, through your own lens, and ignoring what God says, there's going to be deep darkness. And then Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Either you'll love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And the word translated for money is mammon, and it just means the things you store up. Because remember, Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. And so when we come to the word therefore, it's remembering, therefore, we cannot serve two masters. Therefore, our eye needs to see the truth. Therefore, we need to understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Therefore, we need to understand, as we saw in the beginning of chapter 5, the attitudes that we need to have. So therefore, since what God has done, who God is, Jesus said, I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Now think about it. Worrying is saying God can't keep his promise. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. God has promised to meet every need we have. Also, worry is the opposite of contentment. God tells us in his word to be content. Don't worry. Now that word for worry, the Greek word originally meant divided into parts. And basically it means distracted. Don't become distracted from what is truly important. Now I was reading a commentary, interesting thing, talking about fog. Fog that can cover 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep, is only made up of a glass of water. A little bit of water can affect a large area. A little bit of worry can affect our lives like that glass of water can affect the city. Take a gallon of water, you take the whole city out of view. Do not worry. Do not become distracted. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here the same word is used. And verse 32. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 32. I want you to be without concerns. Now that's the same phrase that says worry. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. So here where Paul is talking about marriage, he says that someone that is single can focus on serving God. But if you're married, you're distracted. You have to care for your spouse and your care in serving God. Again, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. The same word is used again. Here, let's start at middle of verse 24. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So that word, that no division, is the same word for worry. It causes division. And in Matthew 13, 22, and again in Luke, where it carries the parable about the seed. It said the seed, the worries of the world came up and choked out that seed where it didn't bear fruit. Matthew 13, 22, same word that's used for worry. In Luke 10, 41, Jesus is in Mary Martha's house and Lazarus' house, and Jesus is teaching. And Martha's in the kitchen, and she comes out, Jesus, Martha's just sitting there listening to you talk. Send her in the kitchen to help. And Jesus said to Martha, Martha, you're concerned, same word for worry, about many things. One thing that Mary has chosen is more important. More important to listen to God than cook the meal. So back to our passage in Matthew. Don't worry. Don't worry. And then he gives several about your life. And the Greek word there for life means all aspects of your life. Your physical, your mental, your spiritual. Don't worry. And then he gives his answer. What you're going to eat. What you're going to drink. About your body. What you're going to wear. And then Jesus gives several examples. He said, look at the birds. They have storehouses. And one thing about the birds, they're busy all the time, especially when they lay their eggs right at the front door, and they'll dive bomb you, protecting their nest. And they're flying all over the place. But they don't have a pantry where they've stored up everything. They go out, they get the food, and then sometimes God provides people that puts out little feeders, you know, and there's seed in the feeder for the birds, and they go eat it. They also get grass. They get all kinds of things, bugs. Think about the birds. Think about your lifespan. Okay, everybody right now, concentrate on making your life longer. Can you do it? No. Your days are determined by God, and you can't worry and make your life any longer. Think about your clothes. Look at the flowers. Remember, Lady Bird Johnson had one of her things when she was first lady was to have wildflowers along all the roads. So that was one of her big things about wildflowers. And that's one thing, too. You can get in trouble in Texas if you mow down the bluebonnets. Don't do it. Well, those bluebonnets, the Indian paintbrush, all those flowers that come out at the right season, think how beautiful they are. God brought them out. And they're here one day and gone another. Think about our magnolia tree in our backyard. Now, magnolia flowers don't last very long. They're there. You see them coming. You get them where you can view them for a few days, and then they're gone. Well, God has put beauty there. And then he said, and think about Solomon. Solomon was one that was so wealthy, they stopped counting the silver because there was so much silver and copper. There was so much coming in, didn't need to count anymore. The Queen of Sheba in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 heard about Solomon, and she came to visit. Did what I hear, was it right? And she said she looked around and saw how fancy all the people that were in the palace were dressed, how many offerings were given in the temple, all the fine food. She said, it's more than I had heard. Solomon, he was not dressed better than the flowers of the field. And then Jesus says, when you're worrying, you're not having faith. Oh, you a little faith. And in chapter 8, verse 26 in Matthew, Jesus is in a boat. There's a storm come up. And the disciples are in the boat with him and say, don't you have any concern for us? Jesus rebuked the wind and said, oh, you of little faith. And then in chapter 14, another storm. The disciples are in the boat. Jesus stayed on shore. And in the middle of the night, they see Jesus walking by. Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come out to you. Jesus said, come on out. And Peter stepped out and walked on the water. And then he began looking at the water and said, you know, I shouldn't be able to do this. And he began to sink. And in Matthew 14, 31, Jesus reached out his hand, grabbed Peter, put him in the boat, said, oh, you of little faith. And chapter 16 in verse 8, the disciples are in a boat again. And Jesus is saying, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And they say, oh, It's because we didn't bring bread with us in the boat. Now, right before they got in the boat, Jesus had just fed 4,000 people with just a couple little biscuits. He said, I'm not talking about physical bread, O you of little faith. I'm talking about the teaching of the Pharisees. And then in chapter 17, in verse 20, Jesus says, you have little faith. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is just a little speck, you can say to this mountain, get up and jump in the ocean, and it will. So don't worry, Jesus says. The Gentiles worry about all these things. Now, Jesus has called his disciples and called us to be different. Are we different if we're not trusting God and worrying all the time? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice he says, when you're worrying, tell God, and then thank him, even before he's given you the answer, because you know he's going to give you the answer. And then if we look a little bit later in chapter, still in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever situation or circumstance I find myself. I know both how to do with little and I know how to do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. We're trusting in God because God knows our needs already. Hebrews 13:5, just couple pages later, Jesus says, or keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. And then verse 6, therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? God knows our needs. He tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Back to our passage, verse 34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Saying, you're going to have problems tomorrow. You don't need to worry about the problems you're going to have tomorrow today. There's going to be real problems. Don't make it worse by thinking about imaginary problems on top of it. A lot of people spend a lot of time worrying about how they're going to cross the river on the other side of the mountain that's in front of them. And they don't even know there's not a river there. Well, what if there's a river? Well, then you deal with it when you get there. Just deal with today. God says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the word for lamp there is just enough to give you one step in front of you, a little oil lamp. And then you can take another step. And that's what he's talking about here with worry. Don't worry, because God is in charge. And he already knows what you need. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. He knows you need something to drink. He knows everything we need. And God's up all night. So we don't need to stay up all night because God's already got that covered. He's up all night. Don't worry. Trust God. Our trust is based on God, not other people. If we were counting on other people to get us to heaven, then we might need to worry. But when we're counting on God to take care of our needs and ultimately to get us to heaven, we don't have to worry. We can trust God. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the baptism we witnessed today. An outward sign of an inward change in the life. Lord, as we examine your word, you have shown us how to live a life that's honoring of you. And it all counts, it all amounts to trusting you, having faith in what you said, and putting our full rest on your promises. As you'd pray in our situation, in Jesus' name, amen.